South Korean electronics giant Samsung promises to pay workers made sick at its plants. This is the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Samsung has apologized to employees who developed cancer and other serious diseases after working at its semiconductor factories. 118 people are believed to have died because they handled hazardous substances. The BBC's Philip Hampshire has more.
It all started about 11 years ago. A lady who worked at one of the Samsung semiconductor factories became extremely ill, was later diagnosed as having leukemia. She died. Her family started a victims group, and it turned out that many workers who had been working in this particular Samsung facility were getting ill, and several of them were dying. South China Morning Post puts the figure as high as around 360 workers who got ill. The BBC's generally using a figure that is closer to something like 118.
Now, Samsung has apologized and they have promised to compensate workers up to $133,000 each. But how will that work?
Well, it's an incredibly tricky process. For a start, one of the reasons that this legal case dragged on for 11 years is partly because the victims' families wanted to get the apology, and Samsung really did not want to give that. They eventually, at the end of this process, went through a mediation cycle, and the end of the mediation was $133,000 in cash, or nothing. And so obviously the families went with $133,000. But they have to jump through quite a few hoops in order to get it. And one of the reasons this is so difficult is imagine a situation where I, as a worker at a company, am surrounded by toxic chemicals, say radon gas. Radon gas, second largest cause of lung cancer in the United Kingdom. And so I die of lung cancer after working there for 5 years. My family go to the company and say, hey, he died of lung cancer. He was working around radon gas. And the company turns around and says, that's true. He was also a lifelong smoker, though. Did the radon gas cause his lung cancer, or did the smoking cause his lung cancer? These are the kinds of difficulties that the Samsung workers have found. What is the cause and effect? Were the chemicals they were around causing the problems, or was it something else going on in their life? It's very hard to prove those links.
Philip Hampshire, let's do the numbers. Brent crude, the international oil benchmark, hit a fresh 2018 low this morning amid worries of too much supply and dimming global outlook. London's FTSE 100 is ticking higher while the British pound is holding steady ahead of a meeting between the EU and Britain in Brussels today. Leaders from the two sides are working to finalize text of their Brexit agreement. Turkey and pumpkin pie, or whatever non-traditional fare you ate for Thanksgiving, is gone. Now it's time to shop. It might seem an American tradition, but as the BBC's Victoria Craig explains, Black Friday has wormed its way into the British holiday shopping season.
It's said the phrase Black Friday was first uttered in 1950s Philadelphia, where police officers working long hours and unaccustomed to the post-Thanksgiving rush used the term to describe droves of shoppers scooping up pre-Christmas deals. In the half century since, Black Friday has been deployed as a marketing tool for retailers, offering steep discounts to entice customers into their shops. And while the so-called holiday is an American original, the concept has resonated with shoppers across the pond. To find out why, I met up with Kyle Monk of New West End Company, which represents 600 businesses in the West End, one of London's most popular shopping destinations.
So Black Friday is a fairly new phenomenon. It's only really come to the fore in the last sort of 3 or 4 years. It started off in the same way that it traditionally works in the US, with big supermarkets having deep discounts, massive queues. Being British, we realized that we didn't like that very much, so a lot of brands dropped out of it. But more recently, it's become a huge shopping phenomenon. I think 30% of shoppers said they're going to buy their Christmas presents during Black Friday this year.
We're standing here on a very busy shopping corridor in central London, and so if you kind of look around, you can see Topshop over there has big Black Friday sale signs, 50% off. But how long have they started promoting Black Friday?
So it varies from brand to brand. I mean, we're seeing more of a Black Friday than just a Black Week. What we're seeing as well with physical stores is sort of activations. So Gap, for example, are having a VIP giveaway. First 100 in store get 50% off for a year to compete with the likes of Amazon and online retailers.
And so we know that high street retailers, those are department stores and fast fashion retailers, have been struggling to get people in the store. So what are these stores doing aside from discounts to really draw consumers in?
So the West End's all about experience. So Selfridges have invested heavily in this last year. So they've got a skates park now in their men's department. So you can actually test out your skate shoes after you buy them. We have an ice rink on John Lewis rooftop. We've got a spa in Lush. You can have a bath in store if that's your thing.
A bath in store, like yes. an actual wash yourself clean bath?
As in there is, yeah. Obviously behind closed doors, but yeah, you can test out their bath bombs in an actual bathtub. But yeah, there's all sorts of experiences. I mean, that's just a small example.
Do you worry about retailers too heavily discounting too early in the season if Black Friday is becoming more common? I know Boxing Day, the day after Christmas, has been traditionally one of the biggest shopping days of the year here.
So, I mean, we know that about 25% of all brands in the West End's annual turnover happens during the 6 week lead up to Christmas, so it's an incredibly important trading period. So while discounting is an issue, most brands have got savvy enough now that they don't just blanket discounts. They'll offer target discounts on certain days, certain lines. So it's not a concern, we just urge our members to be cautious and moderate.
That's Kyle Monk of the New West End Company. Now, he says you won't find British shoppers lining up for hours outside of stores waiting for the best discounts on big ticket items. Instead, they prefer, well, let's call it a tamer version of Black Friday, popping in and out of the shops after a good night's rest. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
Finally, Chinese online retailers have pulled Dolce & Gabbana products, part of a backlash to ads showing a Chinese model struggling to eat pizza and pasta with chopsticks, which consumers found insulting. And while some shoppers are out there scouting bargains, one man in Vancouver has dubbed today Buy Nothing Day. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report coming to you live from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.